Good to be here today. I'm glad I was able to be here. Could have been sick. I had a fight with a bag of corn the other day. The bag of corn won. I had it on my shoulder, and it, which was stupid, and I went to take it off, and it fell, and I tried to hold on to it. My hand wrapped around a tree, and it just peeled the meat off. Thin skin. That's one thing when you get old, you get thin skin. Romans chapter 12. Glad to have visitors today. Make yourself welcome. Over in Romans chapter 12, I'm going to finish this chapter out. And we look here in Romans chapter 12. And beginning with verse 16 is where we're going to start. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. It is possible, if it is possible, as much as life in you, live peaceable with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him, and he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of will, but overcome evil with good. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for letting us come back to the house of God. And Lord, I pray you help us now teach the word. I pray, God, all the studying that I've done, you bring it back to my remembrance. And God, I pray, oh God, that you drive out the opposing powers of hell. And I pray be one here lost, God, that the Word of God prepare the way, and they would get saved during the preaching hour when the preaching's preached. I pray, God, even before then, that you just get a hold of their hearts. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We read here over in, as we read here, it says, be of the same mind one toward another. And, you know, we as Christians, we should be of the same mind one toward another. We should have a walk as a family. We should all be in mind, and in our mind should be in the things of God. And we should be have the idea that what God wants us to do is how we should be toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, you don't go around and talk mean and ugly to them. You don't want to do that. You want to be nice and be good to them, and you want to be in unity. I mean, you come in the house of God in unity, and you're in here, and everybody comes in the same mind, and you're prayed up, and you sought God, and buddy, you're ready to come in here and just worship the Lord. Yes. I mean, you come in here, and that's why a lot of times when we have church, that it seems like, well, you know, the preacher preached good, but just nothing really happens. Because I think we come in here, and we're not all in unity, and we're not... We don't have the things of God on our mind. We're too worried about the things outside. We're too worried about the dinner cooking in the oven. I remember one time I preached, I was trial preaching at a church down in Indian Trail. And they sung till 12 o'clock, or after 12. Well, I preached about 45 minutes. And my wife said, that one guy back there, he said, my dinner's going to be burned up in the oven. Well, they shouldn't have sung so long. Amen. I mean, if you're going to sing that long, I mean, why shouldn't the preacher have that much time to preach? Amen. I mean, if God leads him to preach, he's preaching the Word of God. You want to be in that same spirit that you want to hear him preach and hear the Word of God. I like singing, but I'd rather hear the Word of God preach. Amen. I mean, you got all these songs that, you know, make you have good feelings, make you smile and happy. And I think singing prepares the way for preaching. I mean, when you get somebody up there that really sings, boy, and I mean, you're just all fire for God. And then the man of God preaches, it just does something to your heart. And you just get your thing, get things right with God, and buddy, you're ready to go for another week.
Yes, sir.
I tell you, it says recompense to no man in verse 16, but it says, be of the same mind one toward another. You know, I don't want to come in here and look at somebody and say, well, look what they got on the day or whatever. I mean, I don't come for that. I mean, you wear what you got. I mean, if all you got to wear is blue jeans and shirt, and if you're comfortable, I say wear it. But the main important thing is that you're in the house of God, and you come in with that. You could come in. If I wear blue jeans and just a regular old shirt or whatever, if I come in here prayed up, and then you come in here all dressed up and you're looking down on people, and then we'll get to that in a little bit. I mean, who's the worst off? You are. But we should walk as a family. And the basic admonition here is the same as mentioned earlier. We are to operate as a family. Each member should feel a hurt to the afflictions of one of another. I mean, when someone hurts, we ought to hurt. I mean, something happens in somebody's family and it comes in and we all know that we ought to be hurting with them. And we ought to be happy for them. When something happens and God blesses them like with a new car, we ought to be happy for them.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times people say, well, I wish I had one. Well, maybe if you didn't feel like that, you know, maybe you might get one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd just be a miracle if God do that. Boy, I'd be tickled to death. I mean, you think about it. I mean, God blesses you with many different things. He blesses you with things of this world, and we don't look at that all the time. We just think, well, you know, they got him a new car, but you're not happy for them. But it says, be of the same mind one toward another. So we're to have that mindset one toward the other, that you can be happy for somebody. You can feel sad for somebody. You can be in prayer for somebody. We're never to allow ourselves to become a lost or disconnected from other Christians in the family. We are to all be connected together. When somebody needs prayer, we're able to pray for them. I tell you what, sometimes, I mean, I think, boy, I'd hate for somebody to pray for me the way I pray for them. I mean, you get that way. I mean, there's times somebody needs prayer and you don't even pray for them. I mean, I don't even pray for them. I forget. In my mind, I can't remember nothing. But we ought to write things down. That's why Brother Joe does his prayer list and stuff. So you have the prayer list to go by. So as a family, we can pray together. I hear that saying, family that prays together stays together. Well, we're a family. We ought to pray together. I mean, I believe if we, I tell you what, in the time that I've been in church in 30 some years, when I was out at New Testament, over on Irish Terry Road, I bet you all the people that come through that church, if all of them was there at one time, well, they'd have had to rebuild a church five times. I mean, you think about all the people that's come through this church. I mean, this church wouldn't be able to hold them. I tell you, it's just like they're not a part of us. They don't want to be in the family. And they found a family they think better somewhere else. They think, you know, like a cow's always sticking his neck through a fence trying to get that grass on the other side. You see, that's the way it is with the Christians. They're always looking to go to the other side to get something better, they think. Where it is, a lot of it is, if they just get their heart right with God and get back where they ought to be with God, and then their heart would be restored in the family. And they would have love one for another like they should have. This is a plea of humility and unity and compassion among the members of God's family. I mean, that we stay together, that we pray and seek God and try to get God to come in and help it one another. But we need one another. We got to have the fellowship with the brethren. Hey, I've been out of fellowship with brethren before. One guy one time, I don't even know what I've done to him. Well, I didn't do nothing. We went down there visiting, and my kids, they was running out his door when they was little or something and tore his screen door. Well, you know, that guy got mad at me over there, mad at us for over a year, and I never knew what he was mad about. And then come to find out, he was mad about that screen door. Well, had I known, you know, I'd have fixed the screen door. But yet, see, that's just something so simple can take you out of fellowship with a brother and sister in Christ. It depends on the mood you're in the day that it happens. I mean, a lot of people, if you're in a bad mood, I mean, and then some little something happens, oh man, you just get all blown up out of shape. And it wasn't nothing, really. It could have just been solved with, I'm sorry, or I'll take care of that if he knows what's going on. But here we need to be staying in fellowship with the brethren. And we need to walk in fellowship, the last part of the verse. And it says, prove all things honest. Now, I keep going to that 17th verse. It says, mind not high things, but condescend to men or low state. Be not wise in your own conceit. You know, you take somebody that comes into church or somebody on your job that maybe they're not a child of God. I mean, I don't want to go in there and look down on them, or they think, well, you think you're better than I am. I'm not better than nobody. I mean, I'm made out of the same dirt she was made out of. I mean, we're all the same, you know. I mean, just because I might have a suit on or Brother Danny's got a tie on, that don't make me no better than nobody else. It just don't do it. The only thing different about me and you is, if you're not saved, is the blood of Jesus Christ. And by me being saved, I ought to take a look at that one that's not saved and have compassion on them. And see, they need a Savior. And if they don't get saved, they're going to burn in hell. And I heard a man preaching yesterday on the radio, and he talked about when you're in heaven, it's too late. When the rapture takes place, you can't pray for them loved ones. You can't pray for them then. You got kids going to hell now. You got a mother, father, brother. You can't pray for them when you get to heaven. It's too late. You're done that. You ain't even going to remember them no more. God's going to wipe the tears away. He's going to wipe all that away, and you're not going to remember them no more. So you better be praying for them now. That's the family. You better pray for your family. And we don't do it a lot of times. We just go to bed or whatever, don't pray. We don't read our Bible. We don't talk to God. And then one day, when that lost one dies, or that loved one dies, or lost, or whatever, and you think, man, I wish I'd have went and talked to them, or, man, I wish I'd have went and done this, or I wish I'd have done that. Well, it's too late then. It's too late after it all takes place. If the rapture takes place and we get out of here, it's too late. If they die, it's too late. If you die, it's too late. So, you know, we need to really get a hold of ourselves and see in ourselves that we need to change some things in our life. We need to seek God and pray for those that you love. Pray for those that you work with. I used to work with people all the time, and they'd talk religion as long as you was, and that's all they had was religion. They'd talk it as long as you was around them. But then, you know, if you was over here in the background somewhere, you could hear them cussing or, you know, talking a different way. Because they didn't have what you got. They wanted it, I think, but they didn't have it. But here in the last part of the verse, none of the family of faith should feel that they're better than anybody else. We shouldn't feel that way because, I mean, I'm saved and born again, and I've been washed by the same blood. The only difference maybe is between me and maybe somebody or Brother Danny, me and him, or Brother Preacher, we've been called to preach. That's the only difference. But that still don't make me any better before God. When God loves you, He loved us all the same. He don't have any changes in His love. He loves you all the same. You say, well, you go out and do this, or Preacher High, he's all the time going to the jail and has such a compassion for those people. But God give him that compassion, that love toward them. But that don't make God love him anymore. There's no difference in that love. And the same God that loved Billy Sunday is the same God that can love me, that loves me. Now, There's a difference in my love toward him. Or Billy Sunday was a great man of God, and he was on fire for God, and he sought God. I mean, if you seek God like these old-time men of God or women that you, or your grandmother or somebody, if you sought God and prayed for them, I mean, prayed like they did and sought God like they did, there'd be a difference in your life. I mean, if you're good to people, they'll be good to you most of the time. Yeah. Sometimes you get some that's not. Sometimes, I don't care what you do, some people, you can't be good to them. You're just never enough. You just, whatever you do, is never enough. And we're all cut. It's like a dress, you know, is cut out of a material, and we all cut from the same material. We all the same. It's just, you know, you take, and my wife used to make the kids' clothes when they was little, and you might put more into one dress. And, you know, it gets all real pretty and everything. And see, that's what you're putting into yourself. And what I want to put into myself is I want God in myself. I want to be able to stand before God one day. I want Him to say, "Thy good and faithful servant." I mean, I don't want Him to look at me and be ashamed or whatever. I want Him to say, "Thy good and faithful servant." But, you know, many times in this life, we get all crossed up and get so many things on our mind, and we go out and do so much stuff, and all the time going. I think we go so much that we really don't have time to sit down and talk to God. And you got some churches, they got every day of the week, they got to have something going on. Every day. I think you can go so much and do so much all the time that the people, they really get burnt out. And I gotta go do this tonight, gotta go do that tomorrow night. You need to take time for your family. You need to take time to be with God. And it takes time. Them preachers in back in the older days when they sought God, and they took time praying, and they took time seeking God. They just didn't go in there now and lay me down to sleep. I mean, they took time and prayed. And that's something like we don't have time no more. We live in such a busy world. We like Burger King. We want everything our way. And but we're to stand together as one working for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to have in our life and be standing together that we are working for Jesus. People see us, and they see us as the way we live for God. And they say, you know, there's something different about that person. That person there is just something different about them. I can't put my finger on if there's something different about them. And the more you're around them, and the more you're around them, and then they see that, hey, that guy loves God. That woman loves the Lord. I mean, a center of her life is always the Lord. But, you know, a lot of times the center of our life is everything but the Lord. Over in Philippians 1 and verse 27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I am here of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So we should have that one mind, striving together. And we come to the house of God for one purpose, and that's to worship God. I mean, you don't come to the house of God to serve God. You come to the house of God to worship God. I mean, I serve God outside. I serve God every day on your job or wherever you're at home. Where you serve God then, but you worship God when you come to the house of God. But there's no one in this room that has a right to think that they're better than anyone. I mean, in Philippians 2:4, "Look not to every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others." I mean, you look at your own things. No, you don't look at everybody else's things. You don't look at what they got. You don't look at their life and try to judge their life according to your life. And then in verse 17, it says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil, providing all honest in the sight of all men. We should walk in forgiveness. According to Jesus, there will be times when we become offended by the words or deeds of others. I mean, there's going to be times that you're offended by what they say. And it says here, recompense no man evil for evil. I mean, what good is it to do evil to somebody that's done evil to you? And that's your human nature. The human nature is to do evil to them. I mean, but you got to go against that nature to do good to them. And to go with to somebody and try to be good and nice to them after they talked to you like you was a dog. I mean, that's hard to do sometimes. When people treat you like you're nothing and they treat you like you're a nobody. Hey, I'm somebody. I don't care what you think. I'm a child of God. I don't care what this world thinks. They look at me and they say, well, he's nobody. Well, Keith, I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven one day. And I'm going to be up there and I'm going to be standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be able to go up and talk to Him. I'm going to be able to touch Him. I'm going to be able to go up and fall at His feet. One day I'm going to be there. Yes. Now I hope you'll be there. I hope you're saved and born again. Because if you're saved and born again, you are a child of God too. There's one thing about it, the foot of the cross, the ground's level. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, you can get saved. You can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because that blood has saved more wickeder people than we ever thought of. That blood of Jesus Christ. Look at old Paul. He was a wicked man. Going out killing people and being mean and beating people, whatever, and throwing them in jail. And yet Paul, God saved him.
Sure did.
God come by and called after him and a light shone upon him. He fell off on the ground and he couldn't see or whatever. And God saved him. But I can remember the night I got saved. It was just as important to me. That night I got saved, August 15th, 1976. I heard the Word of God preached. And I was sitting like five seats back on the inside. And I can remember that day, just like in the Word of God, you see where Paul got saved. I can remember that night when the man of God was preaching and he had pointed his finger and it's just like it pointed at me every time. And he was telling me things that I'd just told my wife a day or two beforehand. And he was saying them from the pulpit. And I thought, well, who's told him that? It was the Holy Ghost told him that. And that was so important for God to save me just like it was Paul. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, come forth and broke my heart. And I went down and got right beside the pulpit on this side. I can take you to the very spot. I know where I got saved. It was important. You know, at the moment, I didn't realize I had got saved because I thought I'd been saved before, but I hadn't. But then God saved me, and I know now that's where it took place. And you take in a family. People knows in a family when something takes place. You know when a birth happens in a family. You know when that little baby is born. Brother Robert, little baby back there, he got that little. You know when that little baby was born. You've seen evidence of it. And that's the way a child of God ought to be. When somebody's birthed into the family of God, there will be evidence of it. Everywhere you go, there will be some kind of evidence that you've been saved and born again. I mean, when I got saved, I got this bold way about me where I got where I'd stand up and tell people that they need to be saved. Man, that wasn't my nature to do that. But Joe, I didn't have the nature to go up and tell people, hey, you need to be saved. Or I didn't have the nature in me to go up and stand up here and do this. I couldn't do this. But when God saved me, He put that new nature in me. And He got made me where I can get up and tell people about Jesus Christ. Where I can go into Scripture and I can show them in the Word of God that they need to be saved. And show them how they need to be saved and why they need to be saved. It makes a difference, that new nature does. Because you're in the family. You become in a family. And that, therefore, when the Lord saves you in your life and you walk in His forgiveness that you have, according to Jesus, there will be times when it becomes will become offended by the words and the deeds of others. I mean, other people, they can offend you easy. You can get offended. I've heard preachers say, well, don't wear your feelings out on your shoulders. And I get sick of hearing that sometimes. I used to hear that all the time, and you just get sick of it. I mean, I got feelings. You got feelings. I mean, why are some, and maybe I'm chasing a rabbit here, but some preachers, I don't know what it is, and some people, they just want to get up and say things just to hurt people. Why would you want to just hurt somebody? That's what we come back to here, not to be doing evil, you know, to be doing good to people and to be in fellowship with them. I mean, I've heard preachers stand up there and say, well, don't wear your feelings out, you know, I'll knock them off, or somebody will knock them off. That's just stupid. I don't even like hearing stuff like that. Man's going to preach the Word of God. Why? He preaches the Word of God, and he gets up here and gives you something from the Word of God. Why do you want to get up and make somebody mad, and you know you're doing it?
Yeah.
I mean, I went to church before and felt like I've had to have a shield in front of me to fight off the bullets that's been shot at me. You ever been that way? Hey, but I'll know I've been in the house of God like we'd be in here. And Brother God comes in, and Brother Hyde, he seeks God, and the Spirit of God comes in, and we're just all in unity, and you can just feel the Spirit of God in the house of God. That's what I like. I like it when the God comes in. I like it when God comes walking in. And people say, oh, preacher, he stepped on my corns. I don't want him to get my corn. I want him to get my heart. I want God's man to preach the Word of God that touched my heart. Because I want my heart right with God. I want to walk in that fellowship and walk in that forgiveness. And when they do, we're all not to respond by seeking to get even with the offending party. You know, that's one thing with the human nature. He wants to get even with them. You know, I want to get even with that person. You know, when I was lost, buddy, I wanted to get even with people when they done me wrong. But you know what? Let me tell you something. I ain't got to get even with somebody. Old Cora, he run his mouth about the man of God. God got even with him. God opened the earth up and swallowed him and put him in hell. Let me tell you something. God can get more even with somebody than you ever thought about it. I mean, he can bring judgment on them. I mean, you've never seen the judgment like anything that God's done. Go back in the Bible, and you read in the Bible, like Korah, where, I mean, God opened up, took the kids, the tent, took everything they had, and dropped it in the hell. Just swallowed them up. I mean, I'm telling you what, buddy, it's a sad thing when people today think they can do more than God can do. I mean, you look around you, the God that made all these beautiful things in this earth. I mean, all the things that He made and the way He went around and made up. Me and a friend of mine was talking the other day about mountains. And he said that, you know, this junk where they believe all this where man didn't create it. Said the continents was floating around. They bumped together and knocked the mountains up and all this stuff. Man, how stupid can you be to try to believe something like that? I mean, there's no way I would even try to believe something that the continents bumped together and a mountain come up out of it. I mean, it's just as easy for me to believe that, hey, God said do this and it just come up. I can believe that better. I mean, like they talk about that, the one cell amoeba and all this stuff, and they come out of the water and they started walking on all fours and they walking on the bull. Man, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, you look at a little baby. A friend of mine's got his son and his daughter-in-law, they're going to have a baby. And they took a 3D image or 4D, whatever, of that baby. I mean, that little baby's in the mother's womb. And that little baby's in there and it stuck its thumb and blinked its eyes. I mean, you can see it. And they say it's not a real baby. Yeah. And let me tell you something. God knows, He knows you better before you was ever born. He knows me when my mama had me. God knows me before then. And these people are a bunch of murderers. I don't care what they say. And I hope they get saved. I hope they do. But hell's going to be hot. Hell will be hot, and I better hurry. We walk in faithfulness. We walk in forgiveness in the first part of 17. And we walk in faithfulness in the last part of verse 17. This is a commandment to live a beautiful life. And we are called upon the faithful in the sight of all men by living the kind of life that brings glory to the Lord. We should live a life that brings glory to God. That when people see you, they say, Dan, there's something special. Like I said a minute ago, they say, there's something different about it. And then they see and watch your life, and they see you never talking dirty, never listening to filthy jokes. And when somebody goes to tell a joke, when I was at work, I just walk off. I didn't want to hear their garbage. And, you know, you're all the time talking about the Lord, and they say, man, there's something special about it. Hey, that guy must love God. And they see your life. But walk in faithfulness. And people today, they're looking for something. And, you know, you might be the only Bible that some people read. I mean, because they look at your life, and they say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Or they say, well, if that's a Christian, man, I'd love to be like that person. All the time praising God. All the time got a thanksgiving on his lips. He's all the time giving thanks for what God does for him. But, you know, you don't see a whole lot of people today because I'm going to tell you what, we're a child of God. We're pressed down. The devil wants to put you under so much stress. He wants to keep you so stressed out that he knows he can't get your soul. But he wants to keep you so stressed out that he can get your happiness. He can get your joy. Keep your joy down. And he'll do it if you let him. But you got to strive, buddy. You got to fight the devil. You got to bring this flesh under subjection daily. And then in verse 18, it says in verse 18, which is a hard one, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, I hate to say it, but it's not possible with some people. Some people have real short fuses. Now, I can take a lot and take a lot. But now you go somewhere and my wife, like in a store, somebody just keeps on and she gets fed up with it and she just explodes. I'm not like that. I take and take and take. But when I do explode, you'll know it. But it just takes a while. It says, let's read that again. It says, if it be possible. Now, it's not possible with some people. It's just not possible. As much as you try, it says, as much as life in you. Some people just don't lie in them. I mean, I don't know. I've always been the type that I take a lot and take a lot and take. But when it happens, you don't want to be there. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, and so, you know, you try to live and not bother nobody. You try to treat everybody good. And you try to be good to them. But they just keep on. And they keep on. And I was at work one day when I worked at Freightliner. And these guys was back there and they was throwing water at each other. And they was doing all this junk. And they was all the time doing stuff like that. And I turned the corner and this one guy threw water on me. And I'm telling you what, boy, I got mad. And I told them guys, oh, man, I give them down the country. And, you know, I didn't walk to hear that back door. And God said, now, was that Christian of you? And I had to turn around and walk back and apologize to all them guys. But I did get even. I went back and apologized to them. But, see, they forgot the power of the pen. I was an inspector, a quality control inspector. So every time I went back over to where that guy had thrown that water on me, I just marked down the hill. It wasn't complete. It needed to be done again. I just marked his number. Drew a box around his number. And he had to go back and fix it again. And I'd go back and mark it again. So he got where he let somebody else sign his stuff off. I reckon I shouldn't have done that. But I should have let the Lord handle that one. But, you know, And but it says be peaceable. We should live, try to live peaceable. I mean, as much as in you, try to live peaceable. But, you know, we should have patience. And, you know, patience is hard to come by, too. Some people have a lot of patience. I mean, I have a lot of patience on some things. I get out there working on a car. Now, I have worked 8 hours trying to put one bolt into a car. I was up underneath the car trying to put one bolt in the transmission. 8 hours. I took 8 hours trying to do that thing. I was kind of getting stretched thin by the end of that 8 hours. But, you know, I prayed and sought God and prayed, and finally it went in. I have worked all night one night on a transmission trying to get a bolt in it on a Pontiac Le Mans. And my friend that was with me, he loves God. Boy, he was bent out of shape. He was ready. He was throwing things. He was mad as a hornet. But God just gives me patience. And then other things I might not have patience with. I mean, my patience runs thin on some things. But it's all in what God gives you and how God gives you that you can handle different things. But then, be positive, be patient, be positive in verse 20. Since the Lord will deal with fault, we are to take the lead and be a friend to our enemy. It says here in verse 20, therefore, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, verse 19, and give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So let the Lord get the vengeance. Don't try to get the vengeance yourself. Let God handle it. God handle it in His own way. Keep yourself out of it. Don't let self get into it. Because when self gets into it, it just makes a bigger mess. And then you have more trouble than you know what to do with. So let God take care of it. Pray over it. Seek God over it. That's what we don't do a lot of times. We don't seek God. But seek God and let God handle it. Like I said, Cole Cora, man, he got swallowed up and he went down into hell, but it was all over with then. And I tell you what, God can handle it a lot better than I can. Because I get mad, and then I start running my mouth, and then I say this, and like if you and your wife get in an argument, and she'll say one thing, well, you got to say something bigger than she says, or meaner than she says, so you say something different, and it hurts her more, and then she's got to retaliate against you. Or, you know, with somebody else the same way. Best walk off and let God handle it. That's hard to do sometimes. Yeah, sometimes some people can't let them have the last word. Some people got to get the last word, but that's the best thing to do, Brother Rob, is let them have the last word and walk away. And then, in verse 21, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And you know, a lot of times you think, well, how's that going to help? But I'm going to tell you what, if you go and do something good for somebody who's done something evil to you, hey, that'll get them more than anything. They'll think, why are they being good to me after the way I talked to them? After the way I treated them, why are they being good to me? I mean, because it's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to do sometimes to be good to somebody who's been mean to you. But I tell you today, just try to live peaceably as much as lies within you. I mean, try to go the extra mile. Try to do good to others. Try. It'd be a better place. You'd have a better life if you did. And then when one day when you stand before God and God say, yeah, you went the extra mile. But I tell you, it's hard. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we've had teaching the Word of God. I pray that it was a help somehow, some way, Lord. I pray, God, that you bless now in the preaching hour. Help us, God, that anyone ever lost, God, let them see their need of salvation. God, let them see their need of Jesus Christ. And God, Jesus loves them as much as He loves us. I pray, oh God, you'd help. Now help Brother Joel as he preaches the Word of God. Use him for the glory of God. Hide him behind the cross of Calvary. Fill him, God, with power. I pray, oh God, you let him speak the words that you bid him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.